Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Wesola Church this morning. We are very glad to see you on this super cold day. I just wanted to start with a scripture this morning out of 2 Corinthians 4. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statements of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. We have this treasure in jars of clay, the presence of God, as children of God. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
So yes, we can look at our others. Every single person in this room, every person within the sound of my voice has a story. Everybody's going through something. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, the presence of God in us and the power that he gives us to overcome. He overcomes. So will you stand and worship with us this morning?
I'll raise a hallelujah
I could just stay right where I am and hope to feel you, hope to feel something again.
God, we thank you so much that you not only have made a path, you are the way, the truth, and the life, God, that you call us to something bigger, greater. God, let us be obedient. Let us run to you. Let us run to you. Thank you. Ooh.
King of Kings.
Thank you for the power and the promise in the songs that we've sung this morning. I hope you guys have heard those. Just the rehearsal over and over and over of how worthy you are, God. The victory that you have claimed over sin and death. God, how can we not surrender? That's what this next song is. I surrender. May it be our prayer. Thank you. Thank you, God. You are so worthy to be praised, to be followed, to be completely obeyed. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. You may be seated. Is there kids' church today? Not the. Yes? Yes.
Good morning. I think probably everybody here knows me. Maybe a couple don't very well. Anyway, how far back I go here. I'm Doug Sanderlin, an elder here. I was born in Maine in 1948. Do the math. I was born in a farmhouse. An old doctor come around, charged mom $12 to deliver me, so he was an eccentric old guy. Mom named me Douglas. When they got the birth certificate back, the doctor thought I should be a Gregory. I still have a birth certificate with Gregory crossed out and Douglas over the top when they had it changed. So that's a little funny back there, you know. My dad got out of the military and Maine after World War II because he hadn't been there before. And met my mom, and that's how we started back there. But within a couple of years, I was 2 years old, we went to Washington State. My dad was on his way to Alaska because he'd been here before because he liked it and he wanted to come back. But it was 1959 before we made it back up here. So we've been here ever since then. Graduated from high school in Anchorage. I was drafted in the Army in 1967. went to Vietnam. Was shot up over there on May 10th of 1968. So I have bullet holes and shrapnel. The Lord's blessed me. I still have two pretty good legs. And so, and that's what happened. One leg got tore up pretty good. But anyway, he blessed me that way. Was able to pack moose out with a grandson this fall. That was a real blessing and a lot of fun. So I got saved, officially made a commitment to Christ on April 19th, 1969. And I've been walking with the Lord ever since then. And I've not missed another life at all. It's been a good life. My wife and I got married in 1970. You notice she didn't sit with me today. I think she wanted to be distanced from me when she knew I was going to be speaking. I'm not sure, but anyway, I got a funder. You know, let's do the math again. That was 51 years ago, so we've been hit and miss on a lot of things for a long time, and it's been a good life, though. Some of you know I'm a Sunday school teacher and not a preacher, so bear with me here, but I like creation stuff. So I'm just going to touch on a couple of things, and that's kind of the way I introduce my class a lot of times. Romans 1:20 says we should recognize there's a God just by the things that are made. And so just look around us and stuff. And in my 70 years, I've seen an amazing amount of change in what we've proven to be true in the Scripture. We still deny it on some levels, but it's still true. And one of the interesting things to me is Darwin said, if you can find complicity in a single cell, you got to throw my evolutionary theory out. Well, that's been just wiped out completely. And if you realize it, we still haven't seen the bottom of a single cell. They thought when we found DNA, okay, we've got it. We got things covered here. It wasn't true at all. They're still exploring DNA, of course, but then it was RNA, and then there's proteins they're still digging into to explore. Now look at the other side of the spectrum. We have this extravagant science exploration and Hubble telescopes and other things way out there. We haven't seen the end of the universe yet. So we haven't seen the bottom of a cell, and we haven't seen the edge of the universe left. And God kind of told us that, you know, the fearfully and wonderfully. So anyway, it's just one of them fun things that I like to pull out. Another thing is, we watched a video or a DVD here one time about Dr. Minter. He's with Answers in Genesis Creation Group. He had documented 1,000 miracles in the development of a child in the womb, most of which a child wouldn't survive if it missed a step. Think about that. You know, I think that's probably true of pretty other animals and that too, you know, they go through similar processes, but 1,000 miracles, and we want to deny there's a God and say this is just a lump and not really a baby yet. And, you know, anyway, I won't go there right now. So there's some things I wonder about sometimes. I'm going to read you a couple stories out of people out of North Korea from the Voice of the Martyrs. I'll try to cover them. I'm highlighting, there's quite a bit more to the story. Like I say, I wonder sometimes. Lee Chu Ho encountered Jesus Christ in 1998 after defecting from North Korea. Desperate to escape the famine that was raging in his country for 4 years, he crossed the Tumen River into China, where he met a South Korean missionary who helped him and shared the gospel with him. Upon hearing the good news, Chu Ho placed his faith in Christ. While recovering from malnutrition, Chu Ho consumed God's word, reading the Bible several times the first year. For the next 3 years, he taught other North Korean defectors about Christ and gradually broadened his ministry to include helping North Koreans at the border as they crossed China. He also got married during that time. Then one summer in 2001, Chinese police arrested Chu Ho and his wife, who was 7 months pregnant. As they waited for a group of North Koreans, they were arrested while they were awaiting North Koreans crossing the Chinese borders. For the sake of my wife's survival, I told the police that she was not my wife, Chu Loy said. I told him I did not know her, and despite his attempt to protect his wife, both were detained and after several days were transported to Sin in June of North Korea, when Chu Loy entered the North Korean prison, he lost everything in the prison. My wife was forced to have an abortion, he said, and he never saw her again. He only spent a few months in prison that time, but in 2002 he was arrested again and was charged with being a defector and systematically organizing illegal groups. He spent 10 years in the North Korean prison then, was very depressed and stuff at times, but then he got to teaching. The Lord got a hold of him again, and he got to teaching people there, and he got out. Now he's out helping North Vietnamese defectors again. Never seen his wife again. You ever wonder what you'd be like in that situation? That's what I'm asking myself. We'll go to some scriptures when we get done here, but the Lord promises he'd be with us. So just like he was him. He went through a hard time. He went through some depressing times, but the Lord was with him and he came through. Here's another one, another North Korean deal. When Korean authorities caught Min Jin selling South Korean DVDs to earn extra money in 2008, her husband Kun Woo feared for his life. As high-ranking member of the North Korea's State Security Department, he knew his wife's crime, which was punishable by death, could implicate him too, and in fact, their entire family could be executed because she was selling propaganda from the South, black market stuff. To delay his capture and potentially save his teenage children, Kun Woo fled to Jianjing in China. And meanwhile, Min Jing's relatives also security agents, took in the children, and bribed those who foresaw her case to a reduced sentence. So instead of death, she received a prison sentence. Kun Woo returned to North Korea following Min Jing's release from prison, but he was not the same man that Min Jing had remembered. He could not stop talking about this book called the Bible. The name of God who bears our prayers. A family he met in China had told him about the good news of Jesus Christ, and now every time Kun Woo ate a meal with his family, he gave thanks. I thought he was crazy, she said. In the 4 months the family was together, Kun Woo's prayers became troublesome as he began praying with even people outside the family. In North Korea, neighbors are required to spy on each other, so Christians must pray in secret, and sharing the gospel is even more dangerous than prayer. A simple mention of Christ's name can lead to arrest. And although he knew this, his entire family could be punished severely for his bold faith. Kun Woo couldn't help but share what he had learned in China. I think he at least shared with at least 20 other people, Min Jing said. At the time, I was so resentful of him. My case had just closed, and I was out free again. He was endangering us again. Eventually, someone did report Kun Woo's activities, and one night authorities came to the couple's home and arrested them. Kun Woo was immediately taken to a concentration camp under the country's no mercy law, which basically was there's no God above King Jun II, there, and you know, the president or the king there. He was God, and you couldn't have anything else in front of him. This is modern times. You sound like you're reading the Old Testament, doesn't it, in some ways? The Christians in North Korea are routinely sent to concentration camps where they're starved and overworked and tortured. They estimate there's 30,000 Christians in these camps right now. Min Jing believes her husband died in that camp. She never seen him again. She became a prisoner for some time after that, but she became a Christian, and frankly, I didn't mark exactly what happened to her, but the Lord just kept bringing Christians into her life to where she had to go look and see what happened is what it amounted to, and she became a Christian and is teaching classes. She got away again. She got across the border by bribing a guard and stuff and got out of there. So have you asked yourself, what would I be like in that? And, you know, in ourselves, we couldn't. I mean, that's the fact of it, right? But in each case, the Lord sent help. And so we can count on the Lord's help if we get in that kind of a situation, too. You know, we could go to Isaiah 43, where it says, I'll be with you through the waters and through the fire. You know, he's not going to give up on us. And so even here, as we share our faith in small ways, you know, you get pushed off to say, well, he's kind of, you know, religious weirdo or, you know, something like that. Some just don't like to associate with you. You get a name. But the promise is still there, you know, that the Lord will be with us, and he sends other friends to fill in the gaps in that. And so what's our part in this? No matter what, we're still what Romans 10:9 says, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The confession is a real important part of our salvation experience, kind of like baptism being a public confession. It's something we do, you know. I like the way the first story we told, he couldn't help it. Even he was down there, he knew he was going to get caught, but he couldn't help it. He had to share the good news with other people. Revelation 12:11. I thought you were going to sing that song this morning there at first, but we didn't go. Does anybody remember that verse? Yeah. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Your testimony is important, partly because it's personal and nobody can deny what you know the Lord did for you. Right? I've told this story in class before. I was a young Christian working for a Christian man who had an atheist friend he had working for him some. And he was really adamant in your face sometimes. And finally one day I told him, you know what, you can't tell me that the Lord didn't change me. You know, that's part of your testimony. I know what God did for me. I was telling the class this morning one thing the Lord did for me. I was still in the military waiting for a medical discharge. And I wasn't a Mule Skinner type cusser, but I did cuss back there. But the people in that warehouse knew immediately something had happened. I quit cussing. The Lord just took it away. I didn't have to work at it. Nothing. He just took it away. That's one of the fun things I can look back on. And that's part of my testimony. I know what the Lord did for me, changed me. From what I'd seen in Vietnam, I could have been a real bitter, hard-nosed person. You know, at the same time I was hit, three guys died. And, I mean, how do you walk away and face that? And, you know, you see all the people on the Wounded Warrior program, they don't have a leg. You know, they lost it. And if they lived, they still were severely. And the Lord spared me from that, but I don't mean he spares everybody. I don't know how to answer that question, except that many have overcome and still live an abundant life. You know, so the Lord does walk with those. How many of you have heard the story of Dave Reaver? I know Ken has. We heard it together at a Promise Keeper. I mean, amazing story. The guy got a plastic nose and a plastic ear, and I mean, he just was severely injured, and yet he's going on for the Lord. So, you know, and as far as our testimony goes, remember the story of the man, Jesus crossed the lake to Decapolis, and the man who was possessed with evil spirits, they called him Legion because there were so many evil spirits in him, and they tried to chain him up, they tried to imprison him, they couldn't tie him down, they couldn't hold him down, they couldn't do nothing. But the Lord cast them demons out in the herd of pigs. But when he went to leave, the man wanted to follow with him. And what did he tell him? To go home and tell everyone, your family, what the Lord has done for you. Remember, there was other places where he said, no, don't tell, don't say nothing. But this is one of the places, go tell him. Part of it. Well, I suspect that the capitalist was removed from his normal area and he didn't think the word would get back so bad or something. I don't know. But other places, he was trying to keep out of trouble, maybe. I don't know. I'm not sure how to say it that way. But anyway, we are to share our testimony with other people, the truth of what the Lord's done for us. another one is Matthew 10:32. We ought to turn to that one. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before the Father in heaven. That's pretty straightforward. You know, whatever opportunity comes up, I don't think the Lord condemns us when we don't, but I'm pretty sure he's disappointed at times. I'm disappointed in myself at times. So, you know, I'm not trying to point fingers or something. I'm just saying, you know, that's part of it. We acknowledge him before men, he'll acknowledge us before the Father. And it may cost us something. You feel like you feel foolish. And then Jude verse 3. There's only one chapter in Jude, but verse 3 is, dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation that we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. Sharing our faith, sharing what the Lord's done for us. We go down to verse 20. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in the most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. So part of it is building ourselves up, which I think is like, where are we at here? Romans 10:12, I think the verse is. Oh, that's the one I already quoted. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. I'm thinking of 2 Timothy 2:14. Study to show yourself approved, a worker who needs to not be ashamed, but correctly handling the word of truth. That's our assignment, so to speak, you know. And then just by the way, I think it's Ephesians 6. Some people think that pastors, maybe the elders, and that, or they're the ones supposed to be evangelizing, doing all the work. Actually, Ephesians says we're to train up the people of the church to go out. And so, you know, another little twist there. It may be at great cost. Diane read some verses the other morning in Hebrews 10:32. It says, remember those earlier days when you received the light and when you stood your ground in the great contest facing the face of suffering, or in the face of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed and insulted and persecuted, and other times you stood beside those who were so treated. You sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had a better and lasting possession. So do not throw away your confidence. You will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere. I was sitting in my chair at home. I have a nice, comfortable home. I have a nice place. Somebody took it all away. How would I feel? You know, I trust the Lord will step in there again. You know, and everything is temporary. Sometimes we have a hard time seeing that, but it's just a temporary place we are on a mission, so to speak. There's another verse. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says that everything that's seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Goes on forever. So there's the spirit side of things. And we struggle to stay focused. I say struggle to stay focused on those kind of things. You know, we have been so blessed here. When you look at, you start reading these Voice of the Martyr magazines that come once or twice a month. I don't know, they come pretty regularly. They go to Korea, and the last one before, the last one I think was on Egypt. I'm almost everywhere you go, people are persecuted on some level or another, and yet we're so blessed. And not sure it's going to stay that way, but we are really blessed to have the freedom to meet here and, you know, not be harassed. I mean, they're chased down, their houses are burnt, and they're run out of the country sometimes, and beat up and killed. So it's pretty amazing where we live. But that we're able to reach out and help some of them. You know, we have missionary in India. Some of us support Gospel for Asia missions. And then we have the Guatemala thing. In some of these places, things get real serious with them. So we have the blessing to have the finances and the communication to, you know, be able to step out and help with some of these things. But it's not the same. You know, it's just not the same as being there. So I was going to do a fun little thing this morning. I have a mystery bag here. I wear different hats at different times. I wore this hat this morning. Why do you suppose I wore this hat this morning? It was cold. I like to wear a cowboy hat. I kind of wear it as a dress hat and that. I'm not a cowboy. I do horses somewhere. I'm guiding and stuff, but I'm not a cowboy. But it keeps the snow and the rain off my ears and down my neck. I just prefer it. A lot of people throw their hood up. I use a hood when it gets really bad, but I don't like hoods. So anyway, so I wear the cowboy hat part of the time. And I wear this particular one when I'm moose hunting. usually. I wore it for a dress hat, too, but it fits pretty good. If they fit right, they don't blow off hard. You know, everybody wonders how you keep them on, but if they fit good, they don't blow off too good. But if you sneak up on a moose or get and find yourself in a situation during hunting season when there's when they're in the rut, a cow quite often is the one that'll spot you when there's a group of them, and she's alerted right now. You flip your hat off and flash it. She thinks it's a moose horn, and a bull will too. And they just go right back, you know, oh, I know what that is. We got some competition moving in here. I've seen it work numerous times. I've been guiding for 15 years, and we see lots of moose, and it's just amazing how often. I mean, you can carry the scapular, you can carry a white paper plate if you get in a bind and left your hat behind or something, but something to flash will really make a difference when it comes to that. I just got all kinds of hats. Some of them I inherited. This is just a little one, just a different hat. Again, just when I feel off and want to go want to be a different person even maybe. This one's kind of an in-betweener one. I actually wear it at the church some too. But it's obviously been a work hat somewhat too. It's got, you know, and it's got a less brim, so on a windy day you can wear it better than the bigger one. But we're, you know, different hats for different reasons. Anybody recognize this?
Some of you will.
Welding hat. So your helmet will fit over, you know, you don't come off so good, and you really do need it. It doesn't work very good without a hat at all. Anyway, it's an odd one, but it's one. This is the opposite of the first one I had, right? It's ventilated. So that's a summer hat, right? And I like wearing something cooler in the summer. I always have a hat. I don't ever go outside with that hat. I just like hats. My littlest grandson sees me without a hat and he runs to get me a hat. He thinks I need to have a hat on because the grandpa's always got a hat on. Anyway, he likes to trade them out. He won't wear it for himself at all, though. Even here, I wish I had here. Shines the lights on my eye with the bill, you know. I like the bill on. And then it's kind of a hunting hat, but it's a clean one. There's a story behind this one. This is a CarQuest hat from Roy back there. On purpose, I wore a Napa hat here one time on a work day because I needed a new hat. I thought maybe Roy'd come up with one. So Roy come up with a couple of new hats because he didn't want me wearing the competition. And it's nice. It's a nice hat. And I've tried to keep it clean. Because some of mine just, man, they go downhill real quick. There's another one of Roy's. Now, I've kind of been wearing this one for mechanic work now. I actually have one of his competition ones I keep down in the shop. When I get real greasy, I try to wear that one there. But, so I went through all of that to say that it doesn't matter what hat I'm wearing. I'm still a Christian, and I'm still going to display the love of Christ, and to the best of my ability, I'm going to live out that walk. It doesn't matter whether I'm guiding. It doesn't matter whether I'm on a piece of equipment. It doesn't matter if I'm under a truck. It doesn't matter if I'm whittling on a log on a cabin. It doesn't matter. I'm still going to be depicting that relationship I have with Christ. And you're all in the same boat. It's not easy sometimes. You get mad at the world, you hear something on the news, or somebody does something stupid when you're driving. You know, it's not always easy, but that's what I'm endeavoring to do. And, you know, I'll give you a break if you give me a break sometime too, because, you know, we all need some. So I just challenge you as we go here from here today that we didn't just get a dose of Bible here this morning, but we're going to go out and share it in our lives as we go on. And I know that's true of you, so most of you, but a little reminder is part of what church is all about, and you know, part of our gathering together is that we might be encouraged all the more as we go forth from here and come to an end. I like the verse in 2 Peter, which says talks about the great and precious promises he's given us and how we can be overcomers of the evil in the world. There we're talking about 2 Peter 1, about verse 3 on there. And the promises is things we can grab onto and keep going when we would not have been able to otherwise. And you know, some of you think, well, I can't share. There's a lot of different ways of going about that. Our numbers have been down for quite a while here for various reasons, COVID and everything, but it's kind of all of our jobs to be touching base with people we associate with at least. You know, how you been doing? I haven't seen you lately. And then, you know, if we all do that, it would all help. And even if they don't want to come, we're still touching base and encouraging them, you know, besides new people that you might be able to lead to Christ or bring in. But on the other side of it, the St. Francis of Assisi's quote that says, preach the word always. Preach the gospel always. And when necessary, use words. I have a little story about a neighbor. He sent a friend of his over when we had a rental open to check with him. He says, well, don't bother to go on Sundays, nor on Wednesday nights. He won't be there. People see what's happening. I've shared with him a lot of other things besides that, but that's just something he knew about me, you know, from next door. So I don't know if you picked up on the theme or not, you know, that we are to share the gospel, but it may cost a lot sometimes, but the Lord will stick with us even through that. And if we go ahead trying to plan for something like that, that's not the way to live. We just go with what we know the Lord wants us to do. And then the promise is he will be with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Remember Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians 13:5, is it? But never leave you. I had the option of going to Psalms 139 too, where he says you can't get away from me. There it's kind of like he's going to chase you down, but on the other side of it is that we're doing his work, you can't get away from me either. Nothing can take you away, nothing can cover you up, nothing can hide you, nothing can kill you to where you're going to be separated from Christ. So we're his no matter what. So God bless you guys, and thank you for letting me speak this morning. I asked for a closing song. If you guys want to do it, that's fine. I like a closing song. So anyway, thanks.
We're just going to do a cappella. Nick, can you put Because He Lives up there for me? It's interesting sitting here watching my newborn granddaughter. I remember thinking when I was pregnant with Zachary, I probably told you this story, but when I was pregnant with my very first one, I was a little scared because, you know, the world was in chaos, not like it is now, of course. It's super calm now, but back then, and I remember I went to church and I heard that song, and, you know, this child can face uncertain days because he lives. I know, he's just like, yeah, I got it. God sent his son, they called him Jesus, he came to love, heal and forgive, he bled and died,
somewhere in there,
to buy my pardon, an empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives, because
because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because he lives. Because he lives.